Is he getting tired of me yet? No? Okay, that's good. We'll get you out of here before 8. You have to go to Longview. What's that guy?
7:30.
Oh, 7:30. Okay. Well, I'll try to cut it short. Went to a conference, Pasco, a couple month or so ago. A guy came up and, like, did you guys already tell you the story? And he said, he just got up there and he said, before COVID, he's like, I could always preach like an hour and 15 minutes. And it was like the second service, so it was really late. And we were all looking forward to getting out there soon. So this lifted all of our antennas, like, hope. You know, we're going to be able to get out of here soon, because he said before COVID. But he's like, after COVID, you know, it really affected me a lot, and we're just getting really excited. Like, I can only preach for like an hour and 10 minutes. Like, oh, brother. Dashed all our hopes. I was remembering about the angel food cake. I don't know if it was angel food cake that angels served Elijah, but in Spanish, the word they use there isn't cake, it's tortas. You guys know what tortas are? You guys know what taco is? It's not a taco. It's kind of like a hoagie roll, like a good hoagie roll. Or, you know, like a hot dog, not really hot dog bun, but those ones that are kind of like, what shape is that? Parallelogram, maybe? No. What? Can't read your lips. Anyways, it's got a bunch of lettuce in there and some good salsa and things. They're really good. They're kind of toasted, too. They're really good. But I don't know what it was, a torta or an angel food cake, but whatever. It had enough calories to, one of them did at least, to run, you know, 20 days. And he had to eat two of them because they said the journey is too long for you. So 40 days for two of them. Still a pretty powerful energy bar. Anyway, let's go to Genesis 1, and Genesis 1:14. Genesis 1:14. See, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, just like that. 17, and God said, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God said that it was good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this time we have together. Thank you for all those who are listening online, couldn't make it here. Let's help all those who are sick to get better soon, and help Pastor Derek to get better soon. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, day one, what did God make? No one's going to sleep again on me, all right? Oh, sleeping. What did God make on day one? Besides Brother Dale? What?
Light.
Me and Brother David were arguing. We're not really arguing. He was telling me that wasn't the only thing God made. And we decided that he had to have made time on day one as well, right? Because how are you going to have day one if you don't have time, right? So day one also included time. And then here on day what? Where are we at here? Day four. No, day, where are we at here? Yeah, day four. God makes what here? What we just read? Two big things that we see all the time. What? The sun and the what? And the moon and the stars, probably the planets too as well. And what did he make the sun and moon for? What did he say? What are they to be for? To divide the what? Divide the daytime from the nighttime, right? So he already made time, but now he's making it obvious for us, you know, that it's daytime or it's nighttime. So he set these things up there to be able to help us distinguish the times. And pretty much everything God does, has made, created, it's built in a cycle. How many seconds are in a minute? 60. How many minutes are in an hour? What goes, what do we divide days up into? Hours, right? What were you going to say, Caleb? Oh, okay. That three just really threw me out. I didn't know what I missed. hours into going to days. Days going to what? Weeks. Weeks going to what? Months going to seasons, right? And then seasons go into year. And then we start all over again, right? God made everything into a cycle. They got the seed time and harvest, and all these things are built into cycles. And that was on purpose. We might think that it was just built on purpose for the animals or for the harvest time or for the weather. But that's not the only thing all these cycles were made for. I believe cycles were made for the Christian. Cycles were made for the Christian. Think about it this way. Come judgment day, obviously not the white throne judgment if you're saved, but for a saved person, we're gonna, all our works are gonna go through a type of an oven and see what burns up and see what remains that we can give back to Christ. And think about it. If it wasn't for cycles, how much would we have to offer our Savior? If it wasn't for mornings, how much Bible reading would we do in our lifetime? If it wasn't for evenings, how much prayer time would we have to give account for in our life? If obviously, if you read your Bible in the morning or pray, I know, but probably never, not everyone does it at the same time. But if it wasn't for Sundays, how much of us would be together worshiping the Lord? If it wasn't for Wednesdays, how much of us would be together sharing our prayer requests, praying for one another? If it wasn't for 4th of July's, how many people in Klatsk and I wouldn't be reminded that, you know, there's eternity to think about? Having the gospel shoved in their face, reminding them. And that's, I believe, God made cycles for that purpose. To be able to maximize, for us Christians, a potential reward. Even the world knows it. What do people prefer now? That you pay everything up front? Or that you kind of get them plumbed into your bank account? Everybody wants to get plumbed into your bank account now. That's why credit cards are so pushed. That's why payments are so pushed. Because everybody wants to be able to get plumbed in there on an automatic withdrawal system, you know. When you go to buy insurance now, you can, if you pay it all down right then in cash, you have to pay more. If you get it direct, withdrawn from your bank account, you get a lower price. Why? Because they know you're going to forget. And you're just going to keep paying it for the next year and never go down to all the trouble of, you know, cutting them loose and finding somebody else, because that's just too hard. And they know they'll be able to get more money out of you. Subscriptions now, it's pretty much taken over. Before, subscriptions were just like for newspapers and magazines and stuff. But now subscriptions are for everything. You can even, I don't know if you guys ever seen the ads for people trying to push gifts that come to yourself. You buy them for yourself and they just automatically come. And maybe you can do it for somebody else or something. That's kind of a neat thing to do. But imagine, you know, being so vain to buy something for yourself on an automatic subscription. You don't even need it. You just want somebody to send you something, so you sign up for an automatic gift that comes in the mail. I think that's kind of funny. And you know, the world's just figuring this out, that's the way to make more money. That's the way to maximize your profits, by getting everybody on a cycle. The world's just figuring it out, but God had that all planned out from the beginning, didn't he? Let's look at Psalms 19. Psalms 19, verse 1. Psalms 19:1. I'll read the whole chapter here. It all talks about this. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I said the whole thing, didn't I? Yeah. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We see day unto day that the cycles they bring fruit. I'm going to get back at it here in a second, but also we see in Psalms 1, we know this verse, Psalms 1:1-6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate when? Day and night, over and over and over, cycle after cycle after cycle. And what does it do? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. These cycles, day after day after day, bring forth what? Fruit. It brings forth fruit. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Christians, cycles were built for Christians so that they'd have a reward, so that they'd have fruit, over and over and over, maximizing our reward. Just like food. How many times do we eat a day usually? About 10 if you're me. The rest of us, probably around 3 times, don't we? 3 times a day. We see here in Matthew 4:4. Let's go to Matthew 4:4. Cycles bring fruit. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just as food is a necessity for us to live, God's word is more of a necessity. More of a necessity for us to have eternal life. We saw this last time I preached here in Acts 17:11. I can't quote it, so we're going to read it again. Acts 17:11. I just feel bad making you go back to something I made you go to a week ago. Acts 17:11 said, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures when? Daily, whether these things were so." They got onto a routine. They got onto a cycle. And God called them noble. They had fruit because of it. Because cycles bring fruit. Another thing that cycles do is they can break things. They can break things loose. What do jackhammers do? Are jackhammers super powerful chisels that just break everything all the way down? Is that how they work? No, what do? They go up and down a whole bunch of times, bang, 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 in the same spot until finally the concrete says, "I can't take it anymore," and just cracks, doesn't it? Because over and over and over and over, in the same place, that jackhammer comes down. We got drills, or what do we call them? Impact drills? How do impact drills work? You can actually stop an impact drill with your hand. I've done it before. You get a really, something obviously not sharp, but something you can hold on to. You can just hold on that thing. It really doesn't have a whole ton of power. But it has just, it has quite a bit of power for a very tiny, tiny amount of time. Just like if you put a scale up on the wall and you just punch that scale and read it really fast, you'd be surprised about how much pounds you just hit that thing with. Or if you just jump on a scale real fast, it's way past your weight. I mean, you're like, "Whoa, I don't weigh that much." But what happened? That you had for a little tiny amount of time, that all that weight coming down from however many inches you jumped from, was a lot for just a short second. And that's what, these jackhammers and impact drills, where their power comes from, the repetition over and over and over and over again. And that's what we are reading there in that Psalms 19. "The heavens declare the glory of God." It says, as the sun comes over and it's shining, it says there's no place where you're not hid from. And that's how the gospel is. If over and over and over and over and over again keeps shining and shining and shining on our lives, finally we say, we can't take it. Everyone's giving me a track. Everyone's telling me I've got to be saved. I can't take it anymore. And the repetition finally makes things break free. We see in Hebrews 4:12. Cycles bring fruit, and cycles can break things free. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Obviously, there's nothing more powerful than the word of God. That's the sharpest and most powerful thing out there. But it's a good thing, too, because the hearts of sinners are pretty powerful, pretty hard things, too, aren't they? And the word quick there, it doesn't actually just show up. When you look it up, it's kind of attached to the article there, is an and. But in its area, why they put it there, how did I read it? Doesn't exactly say the word repetitive, but another thing that's kind of synonymous with it. But it kind of gives the idea of over and harder all the time. Anyways, look it up for yourself. If you don't believe me, kind of get to the same conclusion. But it's not just powerful, but it's quick and powerful. It's successive, that's what the word said. Successive. Over and over, and that's why the word of God is. If we use it, it's powerful, but we need to use it over and over, add it to a cycle. That's where we can maximize its power. Also see in Jeremiah, get the same idea here as well. Jeremiah 23 29. Jeremiah 23, 29. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" You know, when you go hit a hammer, hit a rock with a hammer, usually it's not the first hit, is it? What do you got to do? Just like that jackhammer. You got to keep hitting it and keep hitting it and keep hitting it till finally it breaks through. And that's how we are to use God's word over and over and over and over again. Till whatever it is we're fighting in our life, whatever it is we're trying to convey to another person or to our city, gets through. Galatians 6:9 now. Galatians 6:9. Galatians 6:9. Going to come back here in a minute for the prior verses, but right now we're just going to look at verse 9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, why would we be even tempted to faint? If we just did something once, is just doing something once usually enough to make us pass out? Not usually. It's usually when we keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, and we don't see any results, that we kind of want to give up. Well, maybe using a tool on something, or maybe just hammering away at something, and it just isn't moving. It's not changing. We wonder, you know, should I go get a different tool? Is this even possible to even fix this? And we kind of might take a break and think about it, and tempted to just give up on whatever project we're doing. And that's what the idea here as well. It says, don't give up. It says, you'll reap. You're going to see the reward if you faint not. It'll break free. And it also works this way with the Lord as well. We see this in Luke 18 in our prayer life. We probably all know the story here in Luke 18, the unjust judge. Luke 18, verse 4. Luke 18, verse 4. Well, starting verse 2, I guess. Well, verse 1. 18, 1. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" What will the Lord find you doing when he comes back? When he blows that trumpet, will he see us praying? Will he see us asking the Lord to send help from heaven for whatever problem we're going through? Or will he see us all giving up, just trying to get by without a solution, or just trying to solve it on our own power? Will he find faith on the earth? Did we give up on the cycles that we were doing, serving the Lord, praying, asking for his help? Or will he find us all working in our cycles that we started out doing? So cycles bring fruit, cycles break things free, but cycles can slow down or even stop. What happens when all your subscriptions and your insurance that's on auto pay and all your things are on auto pay when that bank card expires? What happens? Hey, you get the emails. Oh, you're a terrible person. We try to get it out, and oh, man, everything's getting canceled. Your whole life's getting canceled. You don't have insurance. You don't have, your credit card's not getting paid off. Everything just kind of seems to fall apart just because of one card, you know, that you set everything up on auto pay. And it all comes to a stop. Even in our houses, what happens to our pipes sometimes, especially in the winter? They get clogged up, don't they? Or if you're at my house, it's always a sewer pipe that's always clogged up. Engines can miss. Weather, you can have a drought, and the cycle of the weather is all changed and not doing what it usually does. Washing machines get what? Off-balanced, don't they? Don't finish the cycle. And everyone who is depending on that cycle suffers a loss. I wonder why don't I have clothes? Well, because the washing machine was off balance and never did finish the cycle, you know? Still got soap in it. And that's what happens when cycles slow down or they stop. People suffer loss. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 6. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. Corinthians 3:6. Says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We could keep going, actually. Keeps talking about this. For we are laborers together with God, and are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. So we see here that first we see that it was Paul and Apollos, they had kind of a cycle going on. Paul would come over and he would preach the gospel to these people, and then Apollos would come to that city and he would disciple them. But it was God that gave the increase, they're saying. But he says, we got this cycle going on, and because people are helping us, people are funding us, people are praying for us. And then he goes on to talk about what we said in the very beginning. These cycles, they give us a reward. All of our works are going to be tried come judgment day if we're saved. And if they last, if they go through the fire, it was something that we did for the Lord, we're going to get a reward. But if they burn up, we're going to suffer loss. We're not going to have to pay for it in hell or anything. We're not going to go through the fire, but our works will suffer a loss. And, you know, it's not intentions that the Lord is interested in. Oh, one day I plan on serving the Lord. Is that what the Lord's really interested in? That's not what He's interested in. He wants to see cycles beginning now. Cycles beginning with you kids, getting into the discipline and reading your Bibles every day, getting into the discipline of praying every day, getting into the discipline of coming to church, so that when you're old, you're not going to depart from it. When you're old, that reward will keep compounding and compounding and compounding, so that you get to heaven, you'll have a full reward. Starting these cycles now. It's not about, you know, one day I hope to do something great for the Lord. Starting now, maximizing our reward. Let's look at 2 Timothy 4:2. We're almost done. 2 Timothy 4:2. No one's sleeping. 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season. You know, when your cycle, when you usually do it, when you usually pass out a tract to someone, and even out of season, even when you didn't even plan on doing it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You guys ever hear the poem about For Want of a Nail? For Want of a Nail. You guys hear that poem before? I know it's kind of a classic. Benjamin Franklin kind of made it popular, but it was even before him. It goes like this. For want of a nail, the shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, the horse was lost. For want of a horse, the rider was lost. For want of a rider, the battle was lost. For want of a battle, the kingdom was lost. And all for the want of a horseshoe nail. You guys figure it out? Guys, that horseshoe was missing a nail, so he couldn't put the shoe on. And because he couldn't put the shoe on his horse, he couldn't ride it, carry the message. Because he couldn't ride and carry the message, the battle got lost. Because the battle was lost, the kingdom got lost. All because of one what? One nail. I don't know if that ever happened or not. But I wonder how many people didn't get saved because of a lack of one tract. I just think it amazes me to think about, you know, that neighbor coming to my dad's house when he just moved in, came out of church, walked over to my dad's house and just witnessed it to him there. My dad was just ready. I mean, who says, do you know if you're going to go to heaven when you die? And the guy says, no, I have no idea. I think I'm going to go to hell. What do I do? You know, just obviously my dad was just ready, apparently. But what if that had never happened? Obviously, I wouldn't be here right now, would I? Probably a lot of us wouldn't be here because of one small thing that happened to our parents that got the gospel to us. But, you know, just a lot of things we just think are so insignificant, you know, that can't be that important. It's okay if I just don't read my Bible today. It's okay if I just don't pray today. It's okay if, you know, whatever. Maybe how many churches have closed because of one unfaithful member doing something? Or how many missionaries came off the field because of lack of prayer? How many kids didn't get saved because of the lack of instruction? Let's finish here in Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Our confidence is what, you know, we just do something without even thinking about it. We just go and do it because maybe it's our cycle. Maybe it's our what we always do. We do it all the time. Which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience. You know, why would he be talking about patience here if it wasn't something that, you know, we did all the time and probably didn't see the reason for it? I think that's why he put the word patience there. That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May we all be faithful in the cycles that God has put us in. And maybe even thinking of adding something to our cycle. And maybe something that's just a little bit more for the Lord. I'm just going to do something a little bit more for the Lord. And start making it a habit so that 10 years from now, I look back. You know, imagine if we all just saved. For sure we all have regrets, you know. If I just saved, you know, $1 from when I was a little kid. You know, just think of how much money I'd have now. You know, I kind of think that a lot of times. You know, if I just done something a little bit, you know, consistently. I had no idea I was going to make it, you know, to 31, you know. But if I just started, you know, just imagine what I do. Sometimes you look at your pay stubs or something, you just realize, you know, how much you paid to the government, you know, all this time. Like, wow, that's a lot. I didn't think it was all so much. And I was just looking at my checks. But may we all be faithful and the little things, that we would have a great reward because we kept doing it and kept doing it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd help me to be faithful in the things I do for you. Please help me to have the initiative to be able to do more and add to what I do for you and not slack off and not find excuses not to do what you've called me to do. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that we would start now so that when we see you, we won't be ashamed because we've been faithful the whole entire time, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan.